Good evening, folks. It's a wonderful time to be here, and I'm glad to see all of you this week. We've been singing some wonderful hymns, and we're going to dive right in into the Word of God right now. I'd like us to open our Bibles together. I see some of you have some new Bibles. That's very good. It's time now to use it. And we're going to open in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Now, one thing I find about most English Bibles is they don't have index tabs. I don't know if yours have index tabs or not. Mine doesn't have any index tabs. But that's good so that you can learn to know your Bible even better. And 1 Samuel is after the book of Judges, Ruth actually, after the book of Ruth. And we're going to open to the 30th chapter. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. This morning I preach about the sin of David. And for those of you who are here this morning, we talk about his adultery with Bathsheba, how it was conceived, how it was compounded. But tonight, I'd like us to take a look at another episode in David's life. We're going to learn from this passage about David once more. We're going to read 1 Samuel 30, and I'm going to read from verse 1 until verse 25. We'll read verse 1 until verse 25. And since it is quite a long passage, I'm going to read it alone, and I hope you'll take notice of the Word of God and follow with me silently in your own Bible. All right, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 until verse 25, here's the Word of God. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burnt Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, Canst thou bring me down to this company, and he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord had given us, who had preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessed word, your preserved word, which thou hast given us to read and to meditate and to learn from that word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to decipher and to know your truth in this word, that we may perform and do it in our own lives. Thank you, Lord, for David and the example he has shown us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, this morning we just saw a negative episode from David's life. We discussed about how David fell into sin with Bathsheba this morning. But this evening, tonight, I'm going to talk about another episode from David's life. We're talking about when he was way younger, when he was not king of Israel yet. Yeah. Now, he had been anointed by the Lord when he was very young. The Bible said his cheeks were still ruddy, were still red. And he was very, very young. He was the youngest of eight brothers when Samuel came with the oil and anointed him the king of Israel. And, you know, you would think that such a promising young man, with all his talents, with all his prowess and skill in battle, with all his love of the Lord, with all he has done and how he became national hero after rescuing Israel from the hand of Goliath, you would think that this man would have his life path, you know, all cleared up for him. You would think that such a young man would lead a life of ease and comfort. His life is made. He has been anointed from a young age. He has been proclaimed to be king when he was still a teenager. He was a national hero. Every woman in Israel loved him. They sang, "Saul killed thousands of people, but David killed tens of thousands." Everybody cheered him wherever he go. You would think that for such a young man, his life is made. He doesn't have to break a sweat. He is all made for life. But it didn't turn out that way, did it? Yeah. No, he did not have an easy life after that. In fact, after he was anointed, after he became national hero, his life turned 180 degrees. Saul, the king, hated him because he was envious and wanted to kill him. He became the target of murder multiple times. Saul pursued him. He had to hide from cave to cave. He had to run from desert to forest. He had to be a fugitive. He had he has to be somebody who runs away and away from place to place. He became someone who is very desperate. Why did God allow that to happen? And then, to top it all off, at the climax is this 30th chapter. He has been forced to leave Israel. He had to go to the Philistines. He had to feign that he was a madman. He had to be pretend to be crazy. And he came to the Philistines. He became a vassal unto the king of Philistine. And one day, he came back with his men to his village, Ziklag, and found that village all burnt down. And he was in such a distressful situation. He was in such a bad moment. The people he loved have been captured. The city he knew to be his home is burnt down to the ground. Have you been in such a situation before? Have you ever felt that everything is going wrong with you? Oh, the Lord anointed me many, many years ago, David can say, but what can I gain from it? I have not been king. I've been pursued from city to city, from place to place. I've been running around like a criminal. And now, my city, my home, has been burnt down to the ground. I lost my wives. I lost my children. And when you think that things cannot go any lower, when you think that it cannot be worse, all the people that were with him wanted to stone him to death. And you think that, wow, David is in such a bad situation. He is in such a distressful situation. And, you know, why does God allow that? Yeah. Did David sin against the Lord? Did David did a mistake? No, the Bible is very clear he did not. Yeah. But why did God allow it? Why did God sometimes allow trials and tribulations in our lives? Why does God allow hardships? Why does God allow afflictions to come at us? I'd like to take this passage and see why did God allow David to go through this situation? Why did God allow David to have Ziklag burned to the ground? Why did God allow David to face so many hardships? And I'd like us to see that from this passage in the Bible. Now, let's take a look. Why did David face such an affliction? Why did he face such a monumental hardship in front of him? Why did God allow it? There are three reasons that the Bible tells us. Why did God allow such afflictions to come upon David and upon us sometimes? There are three reasons. The first, why did God allow David to face such a distressful situation? It is to strengthen our dependence upon him. Sometimes God allows afflictions and hardships to come into our lives so that we may depend upon him more. Let's take a look at verse 6. Verse 6 in 1 Samuel 30, it says here, "And David was greatly distressed." He was greatly distressed. He was very, very tightly stressed out. "For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." But take a look at the end of this verse. It says here, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." David encouraged himself. Now the Hebrew word for encourage is the same word for strengthen, to make stronger. David made himself stronger in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself. Now, that's something you have to do when you are in affliction, when you're in hardship. The situation forces you to depend upon the Lord more and more. When everything is smooth, when it is easy sailing, when there is no problem, then we tend to depend upon ourselves. We do not look as much to the Lord. We do not depend upon him. We think we can handle it. There's a saying in English that says, "It's a piece of cake." Have you ever heard that? Yeah. "It's a piece of cake." That means it's so easy. It's like eating cake, man. Oh, eating cake. Anybody can eat cake. I'm just going to take the cake and chomp, chomp, chomp. It's a piece of cake. When it's a piece of cake, Because I can do it. I don't need the Lord. I don't need to pray. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need God's help. I can do it. But sometimes God sends difficulties into our lives to make us depend upon Him, to make us strengthen our dependence upon Him. And David's situation was so bad, he had nowhere else to turn. Here he is, 600 men wanted to stone him. Who does he want to look for? He can't turn to his wives. His wives are gone. They're captives. He can't turn to Saul. Saul wants to kill him. He can't turn to his family. His family is far away. There is nobody to turn to but to God. And that's what he did. When your back is against the wall, when you have no other way out, the only person you can depend upon is the Lord. And that is when you get close to the Lord. That is when you start to depend upon the Lord. Now, I felt this myself as a personal experience. When I was in America, I felt very, very alone. Now, I know it's nothing like what David experienced. I was in very good hands, actually. But I felt very, very alone. I don't know the people there. And all my families are thousands of miles away. Who can I cry out to? Who can I turn toward? The only person who I can turn to is the Lord. And when you are into a corner, when you are back into a corner, you can only depend upon the Lord. And that's one of the purposes that God allows hardships to come into our lives. To make us depend more and more upon Him. To make us believe more and more upon Him. Because there is no other person, no other thing in this world that can save us except for the Lord. So, David, through this experience, became closer to the Lord. Now, we see in chapter 7, he inquired of the Lord. Let's look at, verse 7. In verse 7, he says, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all." The affliction that David faced, the hardship that David faced, became an opportunity for him to seek the Lord, to ask the Lord, to commune with the Lord. Sometimes that's what it takes to get people to start praying. That's a shame, but that's true. Sometimes it takes trials to make us hit our knees and bow our heads and start praying to God, Lord, help us, and to have a communion with Him. Now, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Hardships strengthen our dependence upon God. Secondly, why does God allow afflictions to come into our lives? Why does God allow hardships to come into our lives? Not only to strengthen our dependence upon Him, but also to bless us. Yes, that's right. God allows hardships into our lives to bless us. Now you might say, wait a minute, Pastor Stephen. I'm not blessed by this hardship. I'm feeling very, very bad about this. Maybe I'm in a financial difficulty. Maybe I'm in a health difficulty. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe my family is all broken up. How am I blessed with this difficulty? Why am I blessed? How on earth am I blessed with this hardship? But actually, many times, the hardships that God allows in our lives are actually blessings in disguise. They may not look like blessings, but they are blessings. And we can take a look at David. He was anointed. We saw that. We talked about that earlier. He was anointed when he was very young. But he did not become king immediately. He had to run around the country. He had to become a fugitive. He had to hide in caves. But you know what? It was a blessing for him. He became a much better man. He became a powerful, characterful man because of it. If he had become king immediately when he was still a teenager, he would be a spoiled, rotten king. He would be a king who had faced no hardship. He wouldn't know how to rule. He would not know how to act as a king. And David actually agreed that it was a blessing. Let's take a look at Psalms. Take a look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, verse 67 and 71. Psalms 119, verses 67 and 71. Maybe after he was old, David remembered all the hardships he has been through. He remembered how Saul almost killed him. He remembered how he had to hide in a cave like an animal. Maybe he remembered Ziklag, and he wrote these words. He wrote in Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." So David acknowledged that all the hardships that he faced was beneficial to him. And then verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Now what's that, David? "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." It is good, he says. How can it be good? It is good that I might learn thy statutes. So the afflictions, the trials, the tribulations were blessings in disguise. It made him a better man. It made him, it developed a better character in him. But not only is it a blessing in the way that it makes him a better man, but there are many times, many hidden blessings that sometimes we may not find out until we get to heaven. Let's return to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30, the event in Ziklag year, if you just read this chapter only, you wouldn't know the historical importance of this situation. Now, I've been reading through 1 and 2 Samuel in my daily devotions, and I found something very interesting. Why did God allow the burning of Ziklag to happen? Now, if you take a sneak peek, if you take a peek at chapter 29, and then you take a look at chapter 31, now you can't read it here, but if you have your Bible with you, you can take a quick look at chapter 29 and chapter 31. What was it about? In chapter 29, David was actually almost going into war against Saul. The Philistines had gathered together to fight against the Israelites. And David was there to fight for the Philistines, but I'm sure David had actually meant to help the Israelites in the end. And the Philistines got a little jittery, and they got a little suspicious, and they said, you know, let's not let David come along with us. Let's send him home, because he might turn against us when the battle is raging. So in chapter 29, David was sent home. He was with his 600 men ready to fight, in name for the Philistines, but he's going to fight against the Philistines later. And the Philistines said, "No, we don't want you. You go back home to Ziklag." And then they got back home to Ziklag 3 days later, because it says in verse 1, "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day." So 3 days later, they came back to Ziklag. Ziklag was burned down to the ground. They spent another day or two chasing the Amalekites who had burned Ziklag down. They chased the Amalekites, and they destroyed the Amalekites. They came back. Now, why did God allow that to happen? If we look at the historical context, God allowed it to happen in order to make David king. Yes, that's right. If Ziklag had not happened, maybe David would not have been king. Now, although David was living in Philistine, he is actually very patriotic. He is a true Israelite. He loves Israel. Even though Saul is his perfect enemy, when he heard that Saul had died, he mourned. When somebody came and told him, "Hey, I killed King Saul," and he thought that David would reward him because Saul was his enemy. But no, David said, "You dared to kill Saul, the Lord's anointed, you have to die." And David is a very patriotic man. Now, if Ziklag had not been burned, what would David be doing? If Ziklag had not been burned, and David had to chase those Amalekites to recapture his wives, what would David be doing? I would think that David would go over to Israel and join Saul. I think David would take arms and fight against the Philistines when he saw that Israel was losing. Yeah. And you know what? Maybe if David had done that, Saul would not have died. But the Lord used this occasion to divert David's attention. David, don't help Saul. David, you take care of the Amalekites today. God used this moment to kill Saul. David was not there to help him anymore. And God allowed Saul to lose and to die in the battlefield. And actually, the aftermath of all this was a blessing to David. He did not lose anything at all in the end. He got his wives back. He got his materials back. He got everything. And the Bible is very clear. They did not miss out on anything great or small. So everything that was taken from them, they recaptured. And Saul died. Saul died in battle, so he, David, became king. So it may have looked like a very distressful situation at the beginning. It may have looked like a hopeless situation. It may have looked like a big mountain of hardship. But actually, it is a blessing in disguise. He did not lose anything at all. He gained much spoils of war. And God used that moment to actually make him king by killing Saul in the battlefield. Yeah. What a blessing this hardship had been for David. No wonder he can look back upon it when he was older and he said, "It is good for me to be afflicted." When the affliction comes from the Lord, know that it is for our goodness. It is done to bless us. It is done to make us better. It has hidden blessings upon it. Sometimes we don't know. We wouldn't know what the blessings are until maybe when we get to heaven. Yeah. I've read somewhere of a missionary, I think it was in South America, and that missionary told a story. He said he was going to a city to preach the gospel there, but in the middle of the road, his car broke down. His car broke down and his wheels was broken, was flat. And he came out and he said, "Lord, I have a preaching engagement in that city. And I'm going to be late. Why do you allow this to happen?" And he spent much time there alone to change his tires and everything. And then he, after much time spent, he went on again and he was late. But when he got to that city, the people there asked him, "Pastor," he said, "are you all right?" "Yeah, I'm all right." He says, "Why?" "You know, that at that intersection, there has just been an ambush, and there was criminals who ambushed people there." And he said, "Really? What time was that?" And the people told him the time, and he reckoned that if his wheels had not been flat, he would have passed that intersection right at the time when the ambush had happened. And he praised God and he said, "The Lord has a purpose in making my tires flat." Sometimes we don't know why hardships come into our lives. But be assured that God has an overriding purpose. He has a blessing for us. Hardships are blessings in disguise. All right, let's return to 1 Samuel 30. I told you that there are three reasons why God allowed hardships to come into our lives. The first one is to strengthen our dependence upon Him. The second is to bless us. And the third reason, why did God allow hardships into our lives? It is to bless others. To bless others. Let's not be too selfish here. We are not the only focus in the universe, and we are not the only focus of God. Now, God loves us very much, but sometimes God would use us to bless others. And sometimes it is through the afflictions that we face. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 30. Now, who beside David is blessed by this incident? Well, it's very easy. It's that Egyptian servant that they found in the field. So they were chasing after the Amalekites, and they found an Egyptian. An Egyptian who was left to die. He had been sick 3 days. And if David had not found him, he would have died. But David found him. And David gave him food, and I guess David maybe took him upon his company, and maybe he even know the Lord through this incident. So, after all is said and done, at least one person outside of David's company got a real blessing, and that is this Egyptian servant. Now, sometimes God allows hardships into our lives to bless other people around us. Now, I keep remembering a story that Dr. Miller told us. You remember Dr. Miller, the American who came here with us like several months ago in the month of May, I think. And when we were having breakfast, I think, or something, Dr. Miller told us a story about his grandson. And he said, "My grandson have been used by the Lord," he said. So it so happened that his grandson, when the grandson was born, I think he was premature or had some kind of sickness. I forgot now what he said it was. But that grandson has to be hospitalized, put into hospital, put into intensive care unit. And, you know, as parents, maybe we think, "Lord, why did you allow this to happen? This is my baby, this is my son, my child. Why did you allow him to get sick like this?" But Dr. Miller has a very interesting take upon the situation. He said because his grandson was put into the hospital, he and the child's parents visit the hospital very often. And when they were visiting the hospital, they witnessed to the nurses there. They witnessed to the workers. And one of them got saved. And he said, "Hey, God has used my grandson to bring salvation to a nurse." And that's what God does sometimes. He uses our afflictions, He uses our hardships to bless other people. Not only to bless us, but to bless others. And the lesson in all this is, when you are in a hardship, when you are in an affliction, when you are in trial and tribulations in your life, Don't just moan about. Don't just grumble. Don't just complain to God, "God, why this, why that?" Try to be a blessing even when you are facing hardships. Even when you are facing difficulties, be a blessing to other people. Maybe that's why God put you there. Maybe that's why God allowed it in the first place, to be a blessing. I still remember a story about a certain preacher who was going to take a plane somewhere. He was going to fly in an airplane, and somehow he missed his plane. He missed his plane, and it was not his fault, but he missed his plane, and he sat there, and he think, "You know, why did God allow this to happen? Why did I miss my plane?" And beside him sat a young man, and he started witnessing to him. And the young man said, "You know, I don't believe in God," and things like that. And that preacher said, "Now I know why God made me miss my plane. God wanted me to witness to you." And he wanted to be a blessing to others, even when he is in a difficulty. That's what happened. That's what happened with David. And that's sometimes why God allows hardships into our lives, to bless others. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. From verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God, of God. This verse is very, very wonderful. Paul said, we ran into tribulations. We had tribulations. Why? Because so that God can comfort us and we can comfort others who are in the same situation. Have you ever think about it that way? Maybe God allows something to happen in your life so that later on you can be a blessing to other people who are facing the same thing, who are facing the same difficulties. Like Paul said here, God comforted us in our tribulation so that we may be a comfort unto others in their tribulation. Now, what a way, what a Christian way of looking at it. So, whenever you are in difficulty, whenever you're in tribulation in your life, think, why does God allow this? Number one, to strengthen your dependence upon Him, to allow you to depend upon Him, to believe on Him more and more. Secondly, He does it to bless you. There are hidden blessings. There are blessings in disguise, in these hardships. Thirdly, to bless others. Let's find an opportunity to help other people, to be a blessing to other people. Maybe there's someone who needs to know Christ in your difficulty, and be a blessing unto them. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercies, your wonderful word, and thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that even in our worst difficulties, you're there to help us, you're there to guide us, and you want to bless us with those and bless other people. Help us to realize that. Help us to live according to it, that we may not complain to you, we may not lose faith in you when difficulties come, but instead, like David, we encourage ourselves in the Lord, our God, and we became a blessing to other people. Help your people here, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.